So week 11, the series is Christ, our message. This is week 11, and today our topic is on repentance. Repentance, changing your mind toward Christ. And our central text is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 21, and I read, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is one word in the Bible that has sent people running out of churches. There is one word that has sent a lot of confusion and is so highly misunderstood, and that word is repentance. It's a word that is used so much, a word that has been used by people, but a lot of people don't really understand the meaning of the word repentance. And when you ask most believers what is repentance, most of them will tell you it is crying at an altar. That is repentance. Others will tell you it is begging God for forgiveness. Others will tell you it is promising to never sin again. That is what repentance means. Others will tell you it is feeling terrible until you feel forgiven. But none of that is what the Bible calls repentance. None of that is what the Bible calls repentance. So today we are going to look at repentance through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not repentance through what your pastor taught. Okay? Not repentance through what you have learned in the past. Not repentance as you have checked its meaning in the dictionary. We are going to look at repentance through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the end, repentance will no longer produce dread. It will produce hope. And the key truth is this. Repentance is not a punishment. It is a doorway. And on the other side of that doorway is Christ. Okay? So number one, what repentance actually is. Please, these are some of those things that you need to master, memorize, and get it right at this stage so that you kill the confusion. Okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Metanoia. Meta for change. Meta means change. Every time you see that word meta, the word means change. And nous, nous, N-O-U-S, means mind. Meta is change. Noia, or where we get nous, is mind. Okay? So a change of mind. A shift in understanding. Repentance is not crying, oh God, forgive me, I'm sorry. That is confession, that's drama. Okay? The biblical word for repentance is change of mind, change of understanding. Your mind is engaged, yeah? And so Paul's whole ministry is summed up in two things. Actually, if you study the ministry of Paul, it's two things. It is repentance towards who? God, and faith towards Christ. Repentance towards God. A simple meaning of repentance so that you guys can understand, and I'm talking so that you guys also grasp what I'm saying. Repentance is, the picture is somebody kneeling down somewhere and crying and blowing their nose and showing how sorry they are. But true repentance is, I was going to Nairobi this direction. I get to Karatina and I decide, no, wrong direction. I turn back and I'm going toward Nanyuki. That is repentance. I was going that way and I've turned 180 degrees and I'm going. It is not standing in the middle of the road and crying and begging. That is the understanding that a lot of people have of repentance today. Okay, so these are not two separate messages. They are two dimensions to one response of the gospel. What is that? Repentance is not about emotion. Repentance is not about emotion. Repentance is not primarily about behavior. Okay? Repentance begins in the mind. Where does it begin? In the mind. It is what happens when truth lands. So you are taught something, you understand that thing, and a person says, I was wrong. God is right, and Christ is enough. Are you understanding what repentance is? So the key truth is this: repentance is not feeling bad about yourself. It is thinking rightly about God. Please note that. In the past, of course, when we were told repentance, repent or perish. You know, there are those messages that threaten the daylights out of Christians. Yeah, repent. There's even a movement of repentance. Repentance movement. Repentance is not a movement. It is just a change of, it's a change of mind. It was change of mind. So you stop thinking wrongly about God and you start thinking rightly about God. Let me show you the clearest picture we have in the Bible so that you can actually understand this story. There are these two people in the Bible. One of them is called Judas. You guys know Judas? Yep. What is Judas known for? He sold out Jesus. He was a betrayer. He sold out Jesus for how much? For 30 pieces of silver. And then what happens? After Jesus was condemned, Judas felt remorse. He felt bad in his heart. Yeah, you can find that story in Matthew 27, verses 3. He went back to the priests. He cried. He threw the money down on the floor. He did not throw the money down the floor because he was excited. He felt bad. He felt a feeling in his spirit or in his heart, wherever he felt it. And he said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. The feelings were real, okay? But he did not go to Christ. He went to the priest, the religious system that used him. And then what did he end up doing? He went and hung himself. And that's how he died. Then we have this other guy called Peter. Peter was a robust, good guy who loved Jesus. And he was a strong follower of Jesus. But at Jesus' crucial moment, sorrow. Now, the difference is what happened next. Peter went to the disciples. Peter stayed near the tomb. Peter ran when he heard Jesus had risen. And he threw himself in the water to get to Jesus faster. So both men felt deep sorrow. Are you understanding? Only one turned toward Christ. The whole difference between remorse and repentance is where you look at. So there are people who make the mistake, they do the wrong thing, and then instead of them looking to Christ, they look at what they have done, and then remorse grips them. Now, being remorseful is true, the feeling is there, it's real, but the question is, where do you look after you have denied Christ, after you have done the things that you're not supposed to have done? Remorse will leave you looking at yourself. But repentance has a direction, and that direction is toward repentance toward God and faith in. So if you are standing, if you're staring at your failure and staying there, that is the Judas path. So let's say you are not supposed to have eaten while fasting. And you have been fasting for 38 days and you're supposed to close on the 40th day. And on the 38th day, you eat because you went somewhere and you saw some mandazis coated in sugar and you decided, I'm going to eat these ones. So you eat your mandazi and then you feel so bad in your heart. And instead of you turning toward God, you look at you and your mandazi and you feel so bad because you're looking at what you have done and you stick there. That is a Judas path. But true repentance turns the eyes to Jesus and moves in a certain direction. You understand? So remorse focuses on sin and stays there. Are you understanding the difference? Okay? But repentance focuses on the Savior and moves toward the Savior. Okay? Now, number three, repentance is always toward God. Repentance is always toward God. The reason I keep repeating this is because this is one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. When people hear repentance, it evokes dread to most people. This is time for repentance. Kenya needs to repent. The nations of the world need to repent. And people have no idea what this repentance is, okay? The idea is, I'm going to clarify the repentance so that I don't preempt right now. So repentance is always toward God. So Paul says, repentance toward God. Biblical repentance is not primarily a movement away from something. It is a movement toward something. So I'm not just moving away from sin. I am moving toward God. Are you understanding? So it's a movement towards someone. But religion has flipped this. In religious repentance, the focus is you, your sin, you bunch of wicked savages. That is repent. It is you who is the focus. You need to repent and you need to turn your heart toward God. Are you understanding? That is religious repentance. That is religious repentance. But when the focus is you, your sin, your failure, your unworthiness, religious repentance will tell you, prove you are sorry. Have you ever had those things? We want to see the fruit of your repentance. Prove. Come to the altar. You know, the altar becomes a place of drama. And your tears become, and your tears and weeping and blowing your nose become the way to connect. So it is now you working and proving that you are really sorry. And you pray enough, you weep enough, and you promise God, this time round, God, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go back to that. That is religious repentance. But what are you actually turning toward? You're turning toward God, who, while you were still a sinner, sent his son to die for you. That is the God you're turning to. Are you understanding? Okay. So the prodigal son father, he saw him from a distance. I want you to get this picture. He saw him while he was still yet far away, and he ran towards his son. He did not wait for the speech. He ran, embraced, restored. And that is who we are running to in repentance. You guys should be able to visualize that, because, I mean, almost every Sunday we have pigs outside here. But for the last 2 or 3 Sundays, the pigs have disappeared, and we believe, you know, it's also a good thing. But I want you to think about the prodigal's father. The Bible says he would come out. I mean, that's a picture we get. He would come out to check, where is my son? And one day he saw the son from afar. So this father did not wait for a speech. Are you understanding? He ran to meet his son. Did not tell him to go take a shower. Did not tell him to clean up. He went and embraced him, restored him. And that's a picture you need to have when you're thinking about God. That's not the gospel of the Bible. That's not the gospel of the Bible. And you'll understand why. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4, and you should note this scripture. Romans chapter 2, verses 4, it says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The goodness of God leads you to repentance. It is the goodness of God that makes you repent. Not the severity of God. Not the meanness of God. You know, there we have painted God. God is a consuming fire. Don't you know he will consume you and burn you, and then you will scare people, of course, with the rapture. When you are left, you will be consumed on the earth. You will be destroyed by the devourer. Same God who loves you, on the other flip side, he's portrayed to look like a demon who wants to kill you. Have you ever asked yourself, how would Jesus die for you while you are yet a sinner? And then now that you have become a saint, he wants to kill you now because of 1, 2, 3. I mean, shouldn't he have just left you to die a natural death? Why should he save you to now come and kill you? That's a paradox. I mean, why go through the pain of dying for me while I am yet a sinner? And then now that I have come to you and I have done something that has angered you, now this God wants to kill me. That is not the gospel. That is not the, and that's why I told you, go back to lesson 1. Go back to lesson 2. We are in lesson 11. If you don't learn these things systematically, and this is just foundation, you will have a hard time learning the gospel of Christ. I know there are messages out there. There are messages of repentance that will shock the daylights out of you. They will scare you into heaven. There are messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God that will scare you into heaven, but they are not going to give you the kind of walk in the faith that is of the Bible. The goodness of God leads you to repentance, not the severity of God, not the terror of hell. That is why I don't preach hell. I've done drama. I have done all those things. I have seen people scared into the kingdom. And then when the scariness ends, people are out of the kingdom because they never got into the kingdom for the right thing. Not the pressure of the preacher. I can come and preach messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God, and how it will be in the end time, and how terror will reign on the earth, and how it will be unbearable, and how people will be crying for the mountains to fall on them because of the pain and the pressure. But that will not lead you to repentance. The Bible says, what leads you to repentance? The goodness of God. When a person sees how good God truly is in Christ, something breaks open and they turn. You understand? It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Repentance is what happens when the goodness of God overcomes the fear that sin has created. That is what brings us. So, the most interesting thing is that you need to learn here, and also you should master this, is that repentance never travels alone. Here, repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. Are we together? Some of you look like you are lost. Or is it the repentance that is coming out or going? Repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. Pull them apart and you destroy both of them. Okay? So if you're walking in the wrong direction and you turn away and walk towards the right direction, you have done one action, but there are two actions within that. Number one, you have turned away from the wrong direction, and now you're going towards the right direction. Two actions, but it's just in one dimension. Okay? So repentance equals turning away from unbelief. And faith is turning toward Christ. Okay? Repentance is turning away from unbelief, and faith is turning toward Christ. The Bible says of the prodigal son in Luke 15:17, it says, he came to himself. He came to himself. His mind changed. And he asked himself, and he stopped believing the lies he had started believing. And he remembered the truth about his father. And he said, I will arise. Okay? There was no song, no preaching, no encouragement. He did not even sow a seed of restoration. He just came to himself and he thought, how do you come to yourself? You think in your mind and you speak to yourself in your mind and you say, how many of my father's servants are doing better than this? I will arise and go home. And he created his speech. Okay? And the Bible says, I will arise and go to my father. That is repentance. You change your mind. And then movement towards the Father is faith. So faith, the moment he turned toward home and he said, I'm going home, that was faith, because that was movement. He was already trusting something is going to happen. So repentance without faith leaves you midair, and faith without repentance leaves you in the wrong foundation. So together they bring you home. But again, religion, remember, we are not religious people, okay? We are based on faith and grace. So repentance has a twin that religion has invented. And this is what has destroyed now this word and has really decapitated it. And the entire religions that are built on this that have brought confusion. Repentance has a twin. Do you want to know what the twin of repentance is? It's a word that sounds almost similar, and it's called penance. Penance. P-E-N-A-N-C-E. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This man is who? Christ. After he had offered one sacrifice. How many sacrifices did Christ offer? One. And he offered this sacrifice for what? For sin. For how long? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. So one sacrifice forever, and then he sat down. You do not sit down when work is unfinished. So Jesus sat down because the work was complete or finished. So what is penance? Penance is the belief that you must add suffering, your suffering to Christ's. Okay? That is penance. You must add your suffering to Christ. That your tears must be long enough. Show us the proof of your repentance. The earnestness. Your earnestness is not enough. You need to be fervent. That you must tip the scales back in your favor by yourself. But the gospel says the scales are not tipping because the payment was made and the verdict is in. Okay? So when you sin and you feel terrible, do you know why you feel terrible? Because that is the Spirit of God drawing you back to Christ. The day you sin and you feel nothing, you're kaput. Because there is no conviction left. But the day you sin and you steal a cookie from the cookie jar and you thought it will be nice and you thought you'll enjoy the cookie, but later you feel bad, that is the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart and telling you to return to God. So the correct response is not 3 days of emotional suffering. Let's say you stole the cookie. And now I'm going to punish myself. How? I'm going to go on a 3 day of suffering. I will walk on the floor with nothing on my knees. I will sleep on the ground. I will put on sackcloth and put ashes on my head. That's your thing. That's okay. That's nice drama. That was Old Testament stuff. That's not going to cut it in the New Testament. Are you understanding? So the correct response is, thank you, Lord. I receive your forgiveness and I turn my back to you. I turn back to you. I turn to you. Why? Because you're the one who died for me while I was still a sinner. That can happen in 30 seconds. 30 seconds are enough to help you turn around. And it is more real than 3 days of weeping and crying and gnashing, because it is grounded in the cross. Not on your emotion. Religion is grounded on emotion. Show how sorry you are. Show how repentant you are. But this one is grounded on the cross. And here is one thing I want you to be left with. You cannot improve the cross by your suffering. You cannot. No human being can improve the cross by their suffering. You cannot add your tears to the blood of Jesus. You understand? You cannot add your tears to the blood of Jesus and make it more effective. The blood is enough. Okay? The blood is enough. You can never add your suffering. Now I'm going to pray enough. I'm going to suffer enough. And this is why I told you this gospel is not easy. Because you're unwinding. You are used to, I have prayed enough. I am here because of my prayers. I fast 3 days a week. I am like a Pharisee. Of Pharisees, I fast this much, I tithe this much, I give to the poor this much, I have done all these things, I have labored. That's your pride coming in the way. The one for Christ is you come to the cross and you leave your burdens at the foot of the cross. If you have ever watched The Pilgrim's Progress, that for me was one of the most powerful pictures, when the burden is rolled away and you come to the cross with nothing on your back. No, this we are from this pedigree. No, we are from this lineage of preachers. No, I am fourth generation minister. Nobody cares. When you get to the cross, you come there with absolutely nothing. The day you feel that there was something about you that God saw something in me. He saw my humble heart. Your heart is not humble. The Bible says your heart is desperately wicked above all things and evil. So the day you come and you think there was something about you that God really wanted, that is pride in your heart. Do you understand? There was nothing. There was nothing. While you were yet in the pig pen, he was still looking and waiting. When is this piggish boy going to come to his senses and realize that I'm waiting for him at home? And then the father runs to him. Okay? So, one of the questions we are going to ask, and here is as we tone down, one of the questions we are going to ask is, what did Jesus himself preach about repentance. Okay? What did Jesus actually preach? So number 6 is what Jesus actually preached. And this is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 15. The book of Mark chapter 1, 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And I read that again. The time is fulfilled. Okay? And the kingdom of God is at hand. It means the kingdom at hand is just King James' way of saying the kingdom of God has arrived. It is here. Not it is going to come. Not you're going to receive it tomorrow. The kingdom of God has arrived. And then he's saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Not repent and clean yourself up first. Not repent and prove you are worthy. Repent. In other words, change your mind and believe. Change your mind and believe. Jesus consistently preached a repentance that was an invitation, not a condemnation. He called sinners to dinner. He forgave even before he corrected. He restored before he instructed. Religious leaders were actually more harassed than sinners because religious leaders thought they were close to God. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, all these people who thought they knew God and had practiced religion for so long that they were a hindrance and they could not see that the God of heaven had come. They were still hung up on the practices of the prophets and the Old Testament. Yet God was amongst them. I've been sick. And you tell them things like, first get saved, and then God is going to heal you. Most of the people in the Bible, Jesus first healed them, and then they followed him. Never believe, oh, it is because you don't have faith. It's because you have not believed in Jesus Christ that you are sick. Most of the people he even healed did not even have faith to be healed. Even the harlot, you know, you'd expect when he's counseling the woman who was caught in adultery, you'd tell him, you know, my sister, repent before the fire of God consumes you. What did he say? Where are your accusers? And then he says, neither do I condemn thee. That is the goodness of the Lord. First reaches. And then he gives the instruction, go and sin no more. Because it is the goodness of God that makes you walk away from sin. Not the scare. You know, if you continue sinning, God will get angry and the fire of God will come and he will block you and burn you. That will not cut. It will scare you for a short time until you realize that even while you are yet a sinner, God loved you. This whole thing is not necessarily talking about dramatic sin. Yeah? But it's talking about small truths here that you can walk away from. For example, it is possible to get into legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is maintaining God's acceptance through performance. Maintaining God's acceptance through performance. The reason God has accepted me is because I have a daily routine, loved you. Then there is condemnation. Condemnation is living as if the cross did not fully deal with your sin. You understand? So you're living as if the cross did not deal with your sin. And number 3 is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Feeling spiritually superior to other people. Sometimes you might feel like you are better than other people. Why? I pray more. I fast more. I'm always in church. I serve at the perceived altar. I'm always there. Whenever things are needed, I give. All those things, they make you feel superior to others. That is self-righteousness. And then there is fear. Fear is relating to God as judge, not as father. These are the subtle truths that can move you away from Christ without even knowing it. It's a drift. It's a drift. You are thinking, but you're not being warned towards. And all these are wrong beliefs. All those things I've told you are wrong beliefs. And the solution is the same as it was in the beginning. Repentance. Repent. Change your mind and return to the truth of the gospel. change your mind and return to the truth of the gospel. So repentance for believer is not returning to the altar in shame. It's not coming here in shame. It is returning to the truth in confidence. Are you understanding? Because Christ does not reject anyone who comes to him. So the atmosphere in which repentance happens matters a lot. And this is 8. There is the law repentance, and then there is grace repentance. Are we together? Remember, we always bring our comparison, law and grace, because we are moving away from law. Now, remember, for me, it's even harder than law teaches. But grace says you are already accepted. Now live from it. Are you getting the difference? Change behavior and then God will love you. But grace says God has loved you while you are yet tries to shame. But grace is Christ-centered. Christ has died for you. Christ has done this for you. Okay? Law repentance is guilt as fuel. You have lost your first love. You no longer love God. You don't pray enough. You don't serve enough. You're not kind enough. You're not good enough. It's always guilt. But grace repentance is revelation as fuel. You get understanding. You get understanding and then you change your mind. Okay? And then finally, the law repentance corrects behavior outside. Okay? So we dress right. We look right. We make sure our hairs are not braided so that we don't look like Jezebel. We make sure everything outside is okay. But grace repentance renews your belief, teaches you and corrects your belief system so that your change is from the inside. And then it comes outside, from inside out. So behavior follows belief. A condemned man lives in fear, but a righteous man in Christ walks in freedom. 2 Corinthians, because I need to put this one here so that it brings balance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What does that mean? For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So godly sorrow has nothing to do with self-hatred. Okay? Godly sorrow equals grief that comes from a heart that loves God. It is not grief in your heart that makes you hate you. It is grief in your heart that makes you love God. Are you understanding? That sorrow will lead you to change. Okay? So grace repentance changes people from the inside. Law repentance only polishes you from the outward. And that is why, and I'm not judging anybody, that is why sometimes you'll find certain religions and the people dress long clothes, long, they cover their head and all that. But even inside, when they go home, they just speak like every other demon out there. Okay? Their behavior is just like every other demon. So just cut those long clothes and just stop your nonsense and get out there and just be a normal person, because you know, the outer covering cannot change your heart. And I'm not saying we are perfect. We too, we have our own flaws, but we don't try to dress the pig from the outside. We change the pig from the inside. And I'd rather be a pig that has been transformed from the inside than a pig that has designer outfit on the outside. Okay, so number nine, I think now this is our last point. Repentance produces restoration, not shame. Acts chapter 3, verses 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay? So look at what repentance produces. Sins blotted out. Okay? Not reduced. Not suspended like the strike. But removed. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So repentance leads into refreshing, into the presence of God. Are you understanding? So here's where we round up the loop with the prodigal son story. Okay, he rehearsed a speech in his mind. And he said, I will go home and I will say, make me a servant. But the father did not receive him as a servant. I want you to see the picture of your God. So you also remove that God who is a terror, who got you saved, and now he's coming out with his machete and he's trying to yeah. People create that picture. I don't know whether I showed you guys that there was a clip that really made me laugh about some weird looking tractor that comes to this farm and it looks like something that comes from one of these is Arnold movies where he fights this creature that I can't remember what it's called, but it looked like one of these aliens with a mouth like that of an alien, and when it opens like this to go harvest the maize stalks run out of the farm. Okay, so when people think about God, they have that picture of this terrible God who saved you, and now he's coming with all sorts of weapons to kill you. Okay, so but this father, look at what this father does. So that you change your picture. Whenever you are thinking about God, look at him and see him as his father. The Bible says, after the boy came and the father saw him, he brought out the best robe. Okay, and what is a robe in that time? It was a symbol of honor and identity. Slaves did not wear robes. Robes were to identify the sons of the elite. And then, now notice here, this guy was not even showered. He put the robe on this stinky boy who was eating with pigs. There was not even brush your teeth first and eat some mint. Yeah, and at least wash your hair and your feet. The guy came with toes that looked like he was from a horror movie. And you can imagine his nails, and he's hugging his father with mud from the pig pens. Pigs are not known. You know, at least cats lick themselves and they are clean. These are pigs. And he was not even supposed to be having any fellowship with these pigs, but he was there with them. And he comes and he's given a robe. The Bible says he put a ring, a signet ring on his finger. And the ring is a symbol of authority to clean and to also remove whatever that was on the toe. He put on his toes that probably had even started clawing down and could scratch the ground. But he put shoes on his feet. What were shoes? Shoes were a symbol of sonship, because slaves never wore shoes. Only sons wore shoes. And then a celebration. Slaughter the fattened lamb. Not come to the corner here and give you a lecture. Why did you leave? I told you this was going to happen. You leave the father's house. I told you. You don't listen. You know you don't have ears. People like you always end up like this. There was no lecture. Let us celebrate. And that is why the other guy got angry. And one day we will talk about the prodigal son that never left, because he was still a prodigal son also. There are two prodigal sons in that story. But today let's concentrate on this one. Celebration, not a lecture. That is where repentance leads. Not to the servant quarter of shame. Okay? Repentance does not lead you to the servant quarter of shame. It leads you to the father's table of joy. The father's table of joy. And the biblical truth is this. Biblical repentance is not the beginning of punishment. It is the beginning of a party. When you turn to God, you're looking at your mistakes. You're looking at yourself and wondering, today is the day you do what? You repent, change your mind, and go back to your father. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. So as a practical application, I want you to stop confusing emotion with repentance. Feeling bad is not. What do I believe about myself in Christ? Okay? So when you fail, where are you supposed to run toward? Toward God, not away from? Not away from God. Christ does not turn away the person who comes to him with a broken heart. Never has, never will. Identification produces a natural response in you to turn toward him. And then number 5, make repentance a lifestyle, not a crisis response. Okay? Repentance is a lifestyle, not a crisis response. Keep returning your thoughts to Christ. Preach the gospel to yourself every morning. And this is our conclusion. So that we can drop religious repentance. Biblical repentance is not a burden. It is a gift. Biblical repentance is not a burden. It is a gift. It is God's provision. I am worthless. Oh, forgive me. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard, especially those prayers in Kikuyu, you know, where people pray and they make themselves worthless. Oh God, I am worthless. My sins have made me worthless. I am even not worthy to be the dust underneath my feet. All that is was wrong. Not I am worthless. Not God has given up on me. Not I must suffer until I feel forgiveness. Just I was wrong. And here is the truth. Christ is Lord. Christ is sufficient. Christ has paid. Christ has risen. I turn to him. Then you drop everything else. And every time you turn to him, every single time you turn to him, he is there. He is there. He is looking toward you, just as the father looked toward the horizon, waiting for the prodigal to appear. And when he appears, what does he do? He runs. So today, turn around. That is all repentance asks. Just turn around. Christ is right there. And that is why Christ is our message. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray for the listeners. Father, may you bless them. May you give them understanding. I pray this is not just another sermon, but Father, it will be applicable and life-changing. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for our online audience, Father. I pray for somebody probably who has walked away from you and has left their first love. I pray, Father, instead of them wallowing in all the things they have done and all the things they have lost and all the wrong things that have happened, I pray that they turn toward God. People will not wallow in the pig pen. People will not wallow and feel bad about the things they have done, but they will turn toward you and move toward Christ and find that peace. I pray for people who are not born again. If you're out there and you're not born again and you want to join this family of God, this goodness of God that leads you to repentance, I want you to pray after me and allow God to give you a new beginning. And just say this, Father, I come to you humbly in the name of Jesus. Not in myself, not in what I've done, not in my prayers, but I just come to you and I ask you to receive me, to give me eternal life, to make me a child of God. I receive you, Christ, today in my heart. I receive you by faith. I may not understand everything right now, but I receive you by faith and I want to be a child of God. And I accept you into my life. Transform my life with your goodness. Let me experience the goodness of God. Let me feel your love surround me. I turn away from all those wrong beliefs that I must work my way to salvation, that I must pay my ticket to heaven. Christ did it for me, and I believe in that sacrifice. I believe the gospel, and I receive it today in Jesus' name. If you have prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. You can reach out to us or reach out to a pastor near you, and they will help you grow in this faith. We ask these things because you are already blessed and you want to partner with us. By giving us, you help us do quite a number of things. We have to pay also for a few things, especially just in case you didn't know, we also do these messages in Swahili, and to get them translated into Kiswahili costs something. So every time you give us and you bless us with something, we are able to pay for some of these things, take care of a few bills here and there, and maintenance on a few things that we need. And also to reach out and to be a blessing to other people. So that is why you sow and you give towards the work of God. There is a pay bill on the screen. You can use that pay bill. M-Pesa, I believe M-Pesa operates quite a number of places. Very soon, God willing, maybe by next Sunday, we would probably have other ways for other people in other countries if you want to support us, or people who are in the diaspora. wherever you are, feel free to support this work that God is doing. And you are so blessed. I want to pray for those gifts. Father, thank you for every gift we receive. Father, give us the discipline and the diligence to use it for your kingdom purpose. May we be faithful. May we do what needs to be done, and help us to never lack, so that the work of God may continue progressing and moving on. Thank you for all the givers. Thank you for those who desire to partner and they have nothing. May you bless them. Thank you for all those who support us, God. Remember them in the areas where they may not even be able to pray for themselves, and bless them. And thank you for each one of them. We thank you for hearing us. For we pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Keep praying for us. Keep remembering to go back and listen to these messages. Download them, share them, and join us on Tuesday for prayers. That is from 6 to 6:30 or 6:45 latest. And also join us on Thursday for our Bible study from 5:45 to around 6:30. God bless you and have a fruitful week ahead.
Honey from the Rock Ministry. We are a Christ-centered church, serving Jesus our Lord.